Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday. The Trinity. How do we understand the Trinity? Oh, you probably all have figured it out. Just this little refresher, made a little primer for you. Back in the day, of course, way back in Ireland, people understood the Trinity in terms of the three-leaf clover. Three leaves, one stem, three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the stem being that which binds all three together in one God. I always like the image, although it's incomplete, of that of the substance of water. Water can, you know, take on three different states. Liquid water pours through your hands. You can't really hold it for long. You can cup your hand. You can freeze it and have an ice cube, and you can hold it and touch it. You can boil it, and it becomes steam, and it's sort of ethereal, and you can put your hand through it. And so there's three different states of one substance, water. But when we begin to talk about God in one person, in three persons rather, and in one Godhead, it becomes a little tricky. So sometimes, and I've done this with people in the past, a little visual is a good thing. So we have three tennis balls. Now these are not just any, I can't juggle, I wish I could. It would make the visual so much better. My son could juggle, I cannot juggle. But I have three tennis balls. Now these are special tennis balls. These are Spunky Pup tennis balls. We bought these tennis balls for Liberty because she was wolfing her food so fast she was beginning to choke. So these were not her food, it didn't work. She's fine, it's all good. So these three tennis balls, Spunky Pup tennis balls, have things in common, do they not? They're all round, correct? If you touch them, they're all kind of fuzzy, like tennis balls are. They bounce, not so good on carpet, and, you know, dogs love to chase them. Now, what distinguishes one from the other from the other? The color, absolutely. So, if we understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, without slipping into that terrible heresy of modalism or Sabellianism, where we give one member of the Trinity this job to do, and the other one that job to do, and the other one that job to do, they all do have different job operations, if you will, in the larger thing. Yet, as I mentioned last week when we were talking about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, they're all together. So wherever the Father is, there is the Son. Wherever the Son and the Father are, there is the Holy Spirit. They are never apart. That is a hard thing to understand, very hard thing to understand. The best image, and I'll repeat it again this week, is the image of the creation story. You know, God, there's nothing. God, you know, separates the firmament from the deep. And he sends the Holy Spirit across the void of chaos. And he speaks that effectual word, who is Jesus. And so there is the Father sending the Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all things are brought into being. All three are there. That's just a wonderful concept to think, that wherever Jesus is, there is God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we consider, let's see, this is God the Father, okay, green. God the Father is here. God the Father is not the Son, and God the Father is not the Holy Spirit. This is God the Son. God the Son is not God the Father, nor God the Holy Spirit. This is God the Holy Spirit, who is neither the Son nor the Father. Yet, when we put all three together, we have the head of the Godhead, one God in three persons, right? So now let's do a little math. What is one times one times one? One, right. One Godhead, right? What is one plus one plus one? Three. Divided by three? One, right. Three persons of the Trinity in one Godhead, all there at the same place and time. So much for tennis balls. We're gonna come back to the tennis balls. I got something better. So there's a wonderful, deep relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we said, we've established, where one is, the other two are. There's never a time when they are apart from the beginning of time and creation. That's just an absolute given. That's the eternity of the glorious Trinity. They share the same substance, and they're unified in that eternal glory. Now, to give you a little different image, I'm going to ask Gary to put up our icon there. Is anybody familiar with that? Ever seen that? Cindy's seen it. She should. She writes icons. She would understand it. That is an icon, actually, of the visitation to Abraham of the three angels. It was written by an iconographer in the 15th century by the name of Rubilov. His last name was Rubilov. It's one of the most famous icons in Christendom, and it currently, I believe, hangs in a museum in Moscow. So if we think not of tennis balls, but we think of persons, and we move from left to right, we first see that there is a beautiful circle that the three images portray. Now, you'll remember the story. The three angels come to Abram, and Sarah is barren, and Abram serves them a meal, and they enter into this dialogue. And while they're having this dialogue, he realizes that he's not just simply speaking to three beings or angels, he's speaking directly to God. And so the wonderful image of the three angels becomes the three persons of the Trinity. And so if you look in the background, you can't really see, you can see the tree over the Lord in the middle, and you see how the tree and all creation is bowing down to the Holy Trinity, which created them. You see the mountain doing the same thing, bowing down. You see in the middle of the three figures an altar, and in the middle of the altar you see a chalice, and in the chalice, if you could see plainly, is a lamb's head representing the sacrifice of Christ and the Eucharist on the altar. So if we move from left to right, we see on the far left is God the Father. We see in the center is God the Son, of course, Jesus. And we see on the right, God the Holy Spirit. You see that perfect unity of the circle, and you see the Eucharist in the middle on the altar. Now, I don't know if you can see their eyes, but this is why the icon really speaks to the relationship that the three members of the Trinity have that we are drawn into. Now, you have to remember that an icon is not just simply a painting or a picture. It's a holy image that draws us into the divinity of God. For the Orthodox, they are, if you will, written scriptures in mode of pictures. In other words, they're holy images that draw us in. And so if you look at the gaze, the eyes of God the Father on the left, you'll notice that he's looking to the Son. See that? And if you see the Son, you notice that he's looking back to the Father. Because, of course, God the Father sent the Son to us, the incarnate Word made flesh. And so they have that wonderful relationship. Now, if you look at the Holy Spirit on the far right in the blue, the Holy Spirit is looking at God the Father. And now we find one of the great errors in Christendom. And that is what we say in the Creed. Now, as we understand the procession of the Spirit, as was understood by the fathers of the Church, and we look at it in Scripture, it is God the Father, at the request of the Son, that the Holy Spirit be sent. And yet, we make that error every Sunday when we say the Creed, when we say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now, my New Testament professor used to say, he was British, he was wonderful, he would say, in the economy of salvation history, both are true, because the Son asked the Father to send the Spirit. So you'll notice the Spirit is looking back to the Father. Notice that? And so that wonderful relationship, that wonderful cycle and circle of prayer and love and devotion is shown to us in that great image with the Eucharist in the middle. And it is that wonderful relationship of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that we are drawn into. So, back to our tennis balls. So, in the midst of the three, like this, I don't have enough hands, and that's why juggling would be good. In the midst of the three, we're right in the center. We're right in the center. Because we share in the Eucharist every Sunday. We're right in the center. God wants us in the middle of that wonderful divine relationship between the three members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing to think, and I will leave you with this. Whenever you hear the word Jesus in the Gospels, remember, he never stands alone. There are the other two, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, in that perfect union of love and devotion and redemption. And there are we in the midst of that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.